So, Father, right now, Lord God, we just come to you. And, Father, the thing that kept coming to my heart this morning was just, help me to focus on you. Help me to worship, Father. Help me to lay everything down that I'm thinking about, Father, all the fears that we have, Lord God, the hurts, just anxiety, Father, and help us not to worry about the future, Lord, but help us to be here right now, Father. Just worshiping, just asking your Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us. Help us just to quiet our flesh, Lord. Worship you in everything that we do, Father. Whether we're schooling our kids or whether we're kids at school, Father, whether we're at work, Father, the grocery store, Lord God, anywhere that we may be, Father. Help us to worship you. Help us to shine your light, Father, so that when people see us, they know that we're set apart, Father. Not because of any good thing that we've done, but because we have your joy, because we can have the fruit of the Spirit, Father. Help us to be set apart in Jesus' name.
You work. reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Father, when you say that there's things that we need to give up, Father, help us not do it begrudgingly, Lord God, or angrily, but help us to be excited about an opportunity to have freedom, Lord. So I pray for those right now, Lord God, that need freedom, whether it's been a month that we've been following you or 10 years, Father. There's still chains holding us back, Father, but help us to want that freedom, Lord. Help us to look back and see all the things that we've been freed from so far. Help us to praise you for that, Lord God, and ask for even more freedom. But help us to be obedient to that, Lord. You are the only way to break those chains. Father, I pray for today, Lord God. I pray that your Holy Spirit leads us all, Father. And the words that are spoken and the things that are taught, Father, help us to have an open heart and open ears for that, Lord. Help our pride to get out of the way, Father. Help any anger or bitterness or hurt or anything, Father. Help those things just to go away. Help us just to have complete joy today.
Thursday night here, and so we're just going to pray. God's so good. He's so faithful. He'll get us through all these difficult times. But Lord, I also just want to pray. I thank you for just so many servants in this church, Lord. Thank you for so many people who are ministering you to others, Lord. And I just ask right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would fill each person here afresh, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we so need you as this world is getting colder and darker and more selfish and more self-centered. Lord, we need you to fill us up with more of your Spirit, Lord, more of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we may be a better representation of who you are in a darkening world, that our hearts don't get cold. Lord, I pray for those who have had family members die recently, Lord God, and even now that are struggling, Lord, we just pray for them, for their families, Lord, for just for you to draw them to yourself, to who you are, that you would give them strength and courage during this time. Even for Kelly, Lord, I thank you for her just and getting her out, Lord, of that hospital. Lord, I just pray your blessing over her and that healing over her, Lord God. And you know each person, Lord, who's going through physical, mental, emotional struggles, Lord. You are there for each of them, Lord. You are there for each one of us, Lord. We can rely and trust on you, Lord God. And I thank you for that, Lord God. You give hope in a hopeless world. You do shine light in a dark world, Lord God. And Lord, we ask that you would shine in us, that you may shine through us to hurting people, Lord God, that they would know the difference, the supernatural God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray this by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you give understanding to your word today, that you give strength to your people today, that you give courage to your people today, that you would give wisdom to your people today, that you would give love to your people today, Lord God, and that you would instill it in Jesus' name alone. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. All right. Well, a few things. If you would also pray for my family. I know my family is sick with the flu. And so a bunch of us are home. Some of us, the rest of the family is over at Hunsader Farms working at the booths for Salt House. And so I've got half my family home with the flu. The other half is with a bunch of other people from church who are over there working for Saul and Pregnancy Centers, the Saul House over there, manning the booths. And so we'll just pray for them if you would, and pray that I don't get sick. Selfishly so. We do have some more bread loaves back in the back if you want to take one home with you from Panera. They're fresh and they're free in Jesus' name. It's just a gift to you. There's no obligations. We don't take up tithes and offerings here. We do receive them in the little bird box back in the back. And so you are welcome to give in Jesus' name. Again, if you want to start ministries, just see Gary, Uncle Tom, or myself. We'll be happy to help start you off. I know new Bible studies and new things are starting, and I love that. And so we just want to encourage you in the Lord. Mary Kate, I didn't see her here today.
I'm here.
Oh, you are here. Well,
you should be looking in the right spot.
Saturday, yes, if you're not sitting right there.
She is.
Yes, I know. She wasn't there earlier when I was. All right, so Saturday, November 4th, we're doing that QuickBooks training class. It's just free in Jesus' name. And so if you're interested, please see Mary Kate. She's been generous enough to give up her time and to do that. And please see her on that. We also have the Holy Smoke Barbecue. And for those of you guys who have not seen that big, the kids at school thought it was a train. It is not a train. It's a giant smoker. And so we're going to be actually missing a lot of people also next Sunday because a bunch of folks are going out and they're also doing a barbecue for Solve House next Sunday. Is that correct, Gary? Sunday.
Yeah.
From 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's going to be a car show. And so if you want to serve in that, they need lots of people. I mean, Gary, how many people do you serve or how much do you...
Most of the team will get there between 8 and 9, and we'll start serving usually about 10, 10:30, and this time's going to go a little longer, probably serve until about 2. We'll do probably about 200 hamburgers, and I'm expecting about 125 pounds of pulled pork. We still need a pickup truck and some extra hands.
Take that grill.
We got to pull the smoke out there Saturday. But it's a great time. It's a great car show. We have a lot of fun. And last spring, the show there, we raised about $2,650, I think it was, for Saul.
That's wonderful.
In that time.
That's awesome.
Mark. You know, Mark's been doing them for ages. Chris has been there. I think Ray, you've been with us, and ladies too.
Yes. Okay.
So
now it's not just men meet and fire. Okay. Oh, you're branching out. That's wonderful. You're branching out here. Yes. So if you want to just volunteer for that, see Mark Manley or see Gary, and we'd be happy to have you out there. And yes, you can miss church for that too. Every time you serve the Lord.
Yeah, we have a good authority to keep church for this.
Yes, that is okay. Also, okay, we're equipping the saints. We really are looking for somebody faithful to help with the loaner library back there. We've got Christian books, audio CDs, DVDs. That was such a big blessing to this church for the last, how many years? But we just haven't found the right person to replace the one who was doing it. We did a fantastic job. So if you would pray about that, if anybody wants to take this over, it's such a great way to encourage and equip families. But we just needed more help with that. Also, you guys know sermons online. We just want to equip you. Prayer meetings here at 9:30. Just pray for the saints and for the people around here. Gary, is your Monday night?
No, we're done.
Done. Okay, that just finished up. Okay, just want to make sure of that. Wednesday is the Transformers Youth Group from 6:30 to 8:30 here at Home Fellowship Church. And then also we've got Thursday night barbecue and Bible study. And Mark Manley, your teaching on... Who Christ is in us. Okay, and so we're going to have food here. We had a really wonderful meal last week. Thank you very much for that. And family. And so for bringing that out. And so we just eat around 6 p.m. and then have Bible study afterwards. So thank you so much for that. And we'll save that. Continue to pray for those who were just baptized during the storm. And then, of course, there's two things. Yeah, I'll go back to that in a second. We just baptized, okay. Nick, I don't know if he's here today.
He is.
Nick. And I love his shirt. Real men love Jesus.
Yeah.
And what an amazing, if you weren't able to come to the baptism just last Sunday after church, it was absolutely amazing what God has done in this man in the period of the last year. It's just been absolutely incredible. And to hear some of the testimonies of people were praying over him and encourage him, even tell him some stories about, what he thought a couple of years ago. So he's come an incredibly long way, and we're so excited and proud of him. So please be in prayer for him, because the enemy always wants to divide and separate, doesn't he?
Yeah.
As soon as God's doing a work in your life, so please pray for him. Also, our little monkey. You know, it was just such a joy to also to watch be a part of you getting baptized and giving your life. Just thanks of all for you, Lord, and what God's done. How exciting that is. I love it. And that her shirt says God's promise. So I think how interesting that you were wearing that shirt, Mr. Cook. So just continue to pray, if you would, for them. Also, but I have to mention something else. It's like we're having one baptism after another. So, since we haven't had enough baptisms, we're going to have another baptism because more people want to get baptized. So praise the Lord for that. So, Sunday, what is that, 2 weeks? So in 2 weeks, after church, we're going to baptize another 3 people as they're wanting to just give their lives completely over to the Lord. And so, one is going to be a rededication, and 2 for the first time. Jason is going to be giving this hard life. That's right. Give him a round of applause. Yeah. About that. I just want to say it was about time. Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. I just meant in my head.
Just in time for the water temperature to be in the 60s.
That's what I'm saying. So see the lengths we go to for you guys, and then another Stan rededicating his life to the Lord, and then also Jason's friend is also who's here a couple Thursday nights listening to Marcus, and he wants to get baptized as well. So we're very excited about that, and so wear your wetsuit or your... So we'll be there 2 weeks. We'll have hot dogs. Pray that it just gets warm that one day. I know it's selfish, but that's really wonderful. I'm really excited and proud of you guys. I'm really excited for you guys. Okay, here we go. Sorry. So, also, just so you guys know, I get in trouble because we're always doing stuff here at the church, but we never talk about it. And I'm like, people need to know. So, just so you guys know, this wonderful church is donating Bibles. Another 75 Bibles to the pregnancy center. And so, in Jesus' name, yes, praise the Lord for that. So, you guys, the word is going out. You guys are sending it out. If you're wondering where your money is going, so there we go. Okay, so we're going through verse by verse through the Word of God, and we are in Colossians, still standing, the substance, supremacy, and sufficiency of Christ. Or, I'm not sure if which is to name it still, in the second chapter, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Colossians.
Name it both, Darren.
What'd you say?
Name it both.
Name it both. Yes, I'm going to have to do that. All right. So, you open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Chapter dose. As I find my Bible. All right, let me give this mic to somebody because I don't want to be in charge of it.
I tried downloading it into my phone.
Okay, so we are in Colossians chapter 2. All right, there's so many reasons. I think we got through in an hour. We got through the first 3 verses. Woo-hoo! We are cruising. While I'm turning there, would somebody mind raising their hand? I'm going to have you read the first 3 verses in Colossians. Actually, I'm going to have you read Yeah, while I'm turning there. Who wants to read that? All right, would you bring that mic to that person? Thank you, buddy. Thank you, buddy. If you need a Bible, Chris, you can grab a few, and just raise your hand, and Chris will bring you a Bible if you need one. If you don't have a Bible, tell us, and we'll get you one in Jesus' name.
I think the boys already
did it. Oh, good job.
Yeah. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are in Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God, mystery that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Good, 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 good. All right, so last week we talked about the gospel. We talked about that word struggling is the same word that means agon in the Greek, and it just means to fight, to wrestle, to... And he's saying, I'm struggling for you. I'm wrestling for you in prayer and teaching the word. I'm fighting this good fight of faith. It's the same word that's used when he says, I fought the good fight of faith. I finished the race. He's saying, I'm struggling for you. I'm praying for you guys. I don't even know you. I haven't even seen you, and I'm praying for you. Because that's the love of God that he puts in our hearts. Where he says, you know what? I don't even know you. But I pray a blessing over you in Jesus' name. I pray God would strengthen and encourage your heart for the work that he has for you. So you can look around at somebody, even if you don't know them, and you can be praying for them, and you can be encouraging them in Jesus' name, because you don't know what God is doing in the background of people's hearts and lives. That same word, struggling, it's like the same in Colossians 4:12, when he's talking about Epaphras later on. He's saying he's always wrestling in prayer for you. He's fighting the spiritual battle for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured, because the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. He's taken these little babies, these young ones that are getting baptized and taught the word, or these toddlers that are just, you know, a year or two in the faith, and he's taken them out. How much more should we be praying for those around us? You're seeing all these people getting baptized. Listen, we have an enemy that wants nothing better than to steal these babies. Trip them up. Trip up these toddlers. We talked about where he's talking about going to Laodicea and where that was. We showed you in that little modern-day Turkey, Laodicea, Hierapolis, Colossae. We showed you that, hey, again, the Bible is true. There's the Colonnaded Street. Sorry, I'm going too quickly because this is review. The Colonnaded Street in Laodicea. We showed you these places, the Roman Theater in Hierapolis and still the Tell in Colossae. These places actually exist. Verses 2 and 3, we talked about my purpose. Paul's saying, you know, God has given us a purpose here on earth. My purpose is that to be encouraged in heart. We have a purpose. Right now, folks don't feel like they have any purpose. If you don't know the Lord, or if you're just coming to church or a youth group or whatever, you don't really know your Savior intimately. You feel like you have no purpose. Your life is spinning out of control. These are real things from people who really struggle. They have nothing. These are actually, and this, if you were not saved, you would have said these same things when you were not saved. And they wonder about the purpose of life. You know, I like what Mark Twain said. You know, the two most important days in your life, the day you're born, the day you find out why. God has put eternity into a man's heart, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, for something more than yourself, for here, for now. God is saying, there's so much more. Me, it's about me. And Isaiah 43:7, depending on your translation, but it says, God says, this is our purpose. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. See, God has created you for a purpose. Your whole purpose is to glorify the Lord. It's not to do your, wherever you're working at from, you know, to make your $2 an hour or whatever we make, right? It's not even you've got a wonderful family. It's not even your ultimate goal isn't just your family. It isn't just your husband or your wife. It's to glorify God. That's your whole purpose for being here on this earth. You are to reflect him. You're to, as he's shining his light upon you, you're just to reflect his image to others. To become less of yourself and more of him. Amen?
Amen.
Now there's purposes. Everyone has a purpose. But if it's in the human origin, or if you're trying to find things in the world, you're going to find that, you know what? It's going to fail. But if your purposes are of God, then you're going to find that nothing can stop you. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. All right. So, and then there's our personal purpose. Okay, I'm going to doctor. I'm reviewing too much. Okay, they may be encouraged in heart. God wants us to be encouraged in heart. And he wants us to be united in love. The Bible says encourage one another and build each other up. That's what he wants you to do. Every time you see another person here, you are to encourage them. Look for reasons. Don't look to, I just want to unload all my stuff on them. He wants you to come here saying, oh my gosh, I want to carry your burdens. How can I lift a few off of you? How can I bless you in some way? How can I encourage you in some way? That's why you're here. All right, I'm not going to throw these because we went through them last week. Okay, united in love. And as Christians, boy, would we fail in this. I'm just being honest with you. We have failed. So let's stop that right now. And let's just be honest. We can't love people like Jesus loves them without asking His Holy Spirit to fill us, can we? And if you can, or think you can right now, you're going to find out as you go along, it's going to run out. And you need to ask the Lord to continue to fill you afresh with Himself. All right, I'm not going to go through all these scriptures. You know, but if we have everything, if we have to speak in tongues, and we can have the gift of prophecy, if we have all faith, if we don't have love, we have nothing. Okay? And so that they, meaning us, may have the full riches of understanding. And we talked that the Lord grants wisdom from His mind, from knowledge and understanding. All the wisdom and knowledge come from Him. Okay? All right? Talked about the mystery of God and how the earth, how we think of mystery as something we don't know, something that's unsolved. The mystery of God in the Bible is means something that was, could only be known because it was revealed by God. And then the last verse here in verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we talked, the last thing we left out is the Hearst Castle. And you remember the illustration about William Randolph Hearst, that rich guy, and how he had his people search the entire earth for this art that he wanted, this art collection, his incredible art collection. He searched the whole earth, and they said if he didn't find it, they were all fired. And he finally found it, if you remember, right? Mm-hmm. And you remember where it was?
In the warehouse.
It was already in his possession. So too, you guys, it says in verse 3, when I read this, it says to me, you have, if you are born again, you have Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Listen, you don't need to search everywhere in the world for the treasure. Whatever you think it is, the money or the relationship or the praise of men, all that's vanity. It's going to burn. But you know what? You already have the treasure. The treasure is Christ living in you. That God loves you, loves me so much that He wants to be with us. And He wants to fill us and live in and through us. That's amazing. That He would love you that much. And me. That's incredible. And His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory. And so that's where we left off. The next verse after it says, in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, it goes on to say this. I'm telling you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Listen. Here's what the Word says. 1 Timothy 4:1. Okay? It says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some are going to turn away from the true faith. And don't you notice that happening? It says they will follow deceptive spirits. What does that mean? It says right here, we just read in Colossians, that I'm telling you all these things so that no one will deceive you. But here the Word is also telling us that there are deceptive spirits. And, if that weren't enough, there are teachings that come from demons. They're being influenced. People are being influenced to go a different direction. But what does that mean? That they will follow deceptive spirits? What does that mean? I do understand, but you know I'm saying this. What does that mean? What does that mean? They'll follow deceptive spirits. What do you think that is? He's saying, I'm telling you that you have everything in Christ. Right? I'm telling you this so that no one deceives you by all these fine-sounding arguments. What does that mean that in the latter days, some are going to follow deceptive spirits. Yeah, what does that mean?
Well,
the most recent one is the advertisements on TV for California Psychics.
Oh, yeah.
If you are not, if you want to know what your purpose is in life, call the California Psychics, a buck an hour, and if it's not the best psychic reading you ever had, it's free.
What's that number, Mark?
It's spelled B-U-L-L.
Okay.
Hockey.
What you guys were, you know, and listen, yes, yes.
I was just actually talking with Natalie recently about this, with, you know, the technology and the way it's going so quickly and really getting scarier and scarier.
We were actually talking,
and she's like, so what? People just sit around the table and go, okay, now we're gonna do this. And I said, no, Natalie, actually, they're being... They don't even realize that they've opened their spirits up, and they're being influenced by a world that we don't see. They're being influenced by, you know, by the spiritual world, which I believe is very real. And I see it in Hollywood, and I, you know, you see it just the way that people are making decisions and such, and it's following a certain progression that's prophetic in the Bible.
Yes.
But it's because they don't even know that we are all at some point susceptible to being tricked by these spirits that are so powerful.
Absolutely. You know, Daryl, go ahead.
I was listening to Joy FM the other morning, and they had a discussion on there, and it basically was pertaining to young children, you know, early teens and tweenies is what they call them. Yeah, I don't know, new word, I guess.
Tweenies.
What it was discussing was so many parents these days are allowing their young children into social media with no parental guidance whatsoever. And they were discussing the fact that the kids are not mature enough to decipher what social media is feeding them. And they were, as part of that discussion, they were discussing the fact that teen suicides are on the rise.
Yes.
And it's basically because parents are just allowing their kids the freedom to go into social media.
And it's honestly not just social media, it's media. They're no longer informing us, they're forming us.
Yeah.
Yes, Jen, go ahead. Right over there.
I think the scariest form of this is imposters that are being deceived by these deceptive spirits and demons because... they stand up there and they're, you know, pastors and they have this authority, and if we're not...
Gel hair, nice
teeth. Yes. That, you know, fluffy, you know, feel-good sermon. We need to be, you know, right. And we just need to be so careful of who we listen to and who we follow.
Yes.
And bring it all back to Jesus. And
His heart, His word, His spirit. Bam! And you know what? So real quickly, go to Acts chapter 20. That was a perfect segue. Into the perfect segue, because here's really, you know, Charles Spurgeon said this one time, the time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep the word of God, the church will have clowns.
What chapter?
Yes.
Acts what?
Yes. Acts chapter 20. All right, Acts chapter 20. Verse 27 to 31.
Yes,
would you like to read that
for us?
Or you have a question? Okay, we need the microphone for
High Hope.
Thank you. Okay. I grew up in a third world country, and when my family came to the States, I was a teenager, and I went to school and church, and it absolutely blew me away that people who call themselves Christians did not believe in demons, in evil spirits. or if they did, oh, they're only in third world countries. Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me? It's your spirits that can move wherever. And they're in the United States, folks. I was a teenager, and these were adults and other people that were absolutely blind to the fact that the spiritual world, evil spirits did not show themselves in the same way in America back in the 70s that they did in third world countries. But believe me, they've always been here.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And they're on the move. They just might operate sometimes somewhat differently. Maybe more overtly there, more covertly here. But let me tell you, they are on the move. The Bible says we deal not with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in heavenly places. You know, I remember talking to, funny you should say that, obviously we're not going to get very far here. Okay. Now, let that go. This is chapter 2 today. So whatever the Lord has. Okay, so I remember talking about a year and a half back when our youth group was still at Youth for Christ, and I remember talking with someone who had grown up in the church. And we did a teaching from Ephesians, and we talked about spiritual warfare and what that entails and the reality of it. And he never heard anything like that. He thought that was all angels and demons. That was all fake. And here's the person I was thinking, oh, Lord, you've grown up in the church. And you don't even know. In fact, even after we had the teaching, I was still like, wow, I got a lot to think about. Yeah, because it says it right here. You know. And so we need to be aware of this. We need to be on guard. Acts chapter 20, verses 27 to 31. Would someone mind reading that for me? If you would, and we'll bring in the mic. Yeah, you want to read it to me.
Okay. You said
20
and you said
27 to 31. 20. I'm not there, so hopefully that's right.
I'm here. Okay. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which...
Wait, I just got to say one thing. Okay, so Paul's saying, listen, I'm so sorry. Paul starts off with saying, hey, I'm not shook back. What is his exact words from sharing the whole counsel of God? That's why we teach book through the Bible. But all through the book of Mark, all through the book of Acts, all through the book of Romans, all through the book of Jonah, all through the book of Colossians. We want to go through it so that you'll know what the Word says for yourself. Not what I have to say about it. Who cares what I have to say about it? What does the Word have to say? So you'll know what it means. You'll know what it means in context. Okay, I'm sorry.
Does anybody remember where I was? 28. I'll just start there. Be on guard for yourselves, for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Now, he's telling this to pastors. He's saying, I want you to be on guard, because people are constantly coming in with bad teaching. You know, YouTube, I have a love-hate relationship with it. I've watched people that have taken so many rabbit trails down YouTube. You know what? If I could just say, just stick to the Word. Just stick to the Word. I know it's not cool. I know it doesn't sound like hip to say that. I know it's not like, you know, no fireworks, but you know what? It's solid. It's stable. It's everything you need in here, his precious promises. But listen to what the world has to say. Listen to what God has to say. Okay, keep going.
I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on alert, remembering that day and night, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears.
Yeah, that's good. So even from within, from without, and from within, people are going to do that. People want people to follow themselves in ministry. I don't want any part of that. You know, I want to teach the Word. I want you to teach you to follow and love the Lord. That's it. I'm a basic guy. Basic guy. As a Christian, you know what? I want you to love the Lord, to love His Word, to love others. You know, when you come down to it, that's really what's important. Mm-hmm. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love others, right? To know His Word so that you won't be blown around by every wind of doctrine. Okay? So be on guard. That goes for all of us. You know, here's one of the funniest things to me. Funny kind of in a sense, right? But, you know, when it comes to the Word of God, what does the enemy want to keep you away from most? What do you find hard? Maybe other than prayer, right? It's taking time to read the Word for yourself. Right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that sometimes the hardest thing? Now listen, I am so thankful that you're here. We're not the only churches. Lots of wonderful good churches. But I'm glad that you're at a good, we're a stable Bible-teaching church, okay? Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, Lord. I thank Him for that, protecting us. Okay? So thank you, Lord. But I want you to be in the Word for yourself. I want you to pick a book of the Bible. Just take a book in the New Testament. Okay? Take a gospel. Take the Gospel of John. Take the book of Ephesians or Philippians and just start reading a chapter a day. Just ask the Lord, Lord, will you personally speak to my heart? And just read Philippians chapter 1. And then tomorrow, Philippians chapter 2. And then Philippians chapter 3. You get it? Just pick and start reading through the Word. Ask Him to teach you. Listen, if you don't have, this is a very simple, this is a little devotional. It's my time with God. Okay? Some of you have gone through it. It's very simple to. It's a new called New Century Version. Very easy read. Okay, and it'll take you through the New Testament in 1 year. Okay, if anybody wants one of these, I'll give it to you in Jesus' name. Here's the deal: most Christians have never even read the New Testament. That scares me. They don't even know what they don't know, and so I'm so thankful when people want this stuff. And this is precious. If you want a Bible or if you want Bible teachings, come see me and we'll give it to you free in Jesus' name. This church is very generous with what little they have to put the Word in your heart and in your hands. Now, whether you do it or not, that's your choice.
We're too busy on Facebook and worried about the news.
On social media. Oh, yeah. See, I was really good to get that social media, but you got me with the news. I'm a news junkie.
I'm a news junkie too, but it's all garbage.
I know.
Like Laura said, where is the good news channel?
It's
fake news.
Yeah.
It's all fake news now.
Yeah. Hey, I got the good news channel right here.
Colossians 2. Where do we get it on?
All right. This is, we're in verse 4. All right. Yes, hi. Oh, hello.
Yes. I think one of the easiest tests to figure out if you're being deceived by demons, evil spirits, is just to recognize what is the character of Satan. What was Satan's heart? In heaven, he rebelled because he wanted the glory of Almighty God. He wanted to be God. He didn't want people to be giving God their attention, but to him. He's a thief.
Yes.
He's a pirate.
Yes.
And if you want to test the effect in churches, in Christianity, of demons, look to see where the attention is. Where's the focus? When we gather together in Jesus' name, he's here in our midst. And we should come like those Greeks came to Philip after the triumphal entry. We want to see Jesus. You know, I come here. There's something when I'm gathered with God's people. I can come into the presence and see Christ. I can't see him alone in my devotional life.
Yes.
So when we're here studying the Word of God, praising God together in Jesus' name, we can see Jesus afresh.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctrine of demons and evil spirits are trying to pull the attention of Christians away from Christ, which is the very theme of Colossians. He has supremacy in everything.
Yes, exactly.
But what is it all about today?
Yes.
All these people, which Paul argued, you know, those who are of Cephas, those who are this, those who are
Paul.
No, yes. We're of Christ.
Right.
And if, you know, like in hearing the Word of God being taught, looking in the Bible, I'm looking for Christ. I want to know him.
Yes.
I want to know him from you.
Yes.
When I come here, I want to see Christ.
You don't want to know me. Who cares?
Who cares about you?
Yes, honestly.
Actually, if Christ is in me, I'm going to care about
right,
you.
Right, but you know what I'm saying.
But, what was your name?
Yes.
we need to see Christ. Lift up Christ.
Yes.
And the television is full of pirates.
Yes.
Stealing Jesus' money. Stealing Jesus' glory.
Yeah.
Parading and prancing around.
Yes.
Three boys and girls.
Yes.
But it's like, everybody's got their hero, and they listen to it. It's like, this is very deceptive. Our worship is on people, not on Jesus. And then we don't have the power of Christ in us. We're not full of his glory because we're looking to the glory of all these other people. It's really, the measure, the test is my attention being pulled away from Jesus and Jesus only? Like those apostles on the Transfiguration, you know, this little monument for Elijah. God the Father was quite upset. This is my son.
Listen to him.
And then they could see nobody but Jesus.
That's right. Good words. Yeah. You know, also, I had a friend of mine from California. He wrote me that. This is just a few days ago. He used to live here in Florida. He says, as much as I complain about Florida, I sure want to be around solid Christians. He's visiting a lot of churches out in Cali, and he's really struggling. He says, I visited a church where the pastor believed all you need to do is to believe Jesus existed to be saved. And I'm to the point where I'm, you know, asking questions I want answers. And I said, I don't even know whether to laugh or cry at that. I sure you heard him right. He said, yep, me and a couple other guys, we're scratching our heads. And so, you know, I talk to my wife like that, and she's like, what's the filter? What is the first thing you think about? If we're saved just because Jesus existed. I said, well, I had a few that ran through my head. You know, I said, one of them is, you know, Nicodemus. Okay, Nicodemus believed Jesus existed, but Jesus told him, hey, you must be born again if you're going to see the kingdom of God.
James says,
and then my wife said, and don't forget about James, he said, hey, you know, it says the demons believe and believe in Jesus and shudder. If you remember the garden, Gadarenes, when Jesus went over the other side of the Decapolis, it's like this demon ran out, and he's like, he came out, he knew who Jesus was. He believed he existed. In fact, it says he fell on his knees, and he says, have you come to torment us before the appointed time? See, you can believe in who he is, right? You can even believe in his power. You can believe in his authority. But you can even be on your knees, but do you willingly submit? See, that demon would not willingly submit. And that, my folks and my friends, is the key. When I see this, listen, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 3, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrines. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear.
Yep.
That's where we're at. Christianity today, we're talking about these deceivers. Just like there was in Colossians, you know, there were those deceivers that were there saying, oh, yeah, Jesus is great, but, you know, and just like today, in Christianity today, but I don't know how I'm talking about the magazine, but anyway, one thing they reported in November 2013 that 85% of Latter-day Saints, Mormons, were converts from evangelical Christianity. And what that's basically saying is that, and the person who wrote that, authored a book, she has spent 30 years in the Mormon church, doctorate from Brigham Young, the whole nine yards. And she said when she started just reading the Bible for herself, God started speaking to her and realizing, oh my gosh. But that means that 85% that are going into a cult come from a background where they went to church. It's just they never took the time to read and study the Word of God for themselves. You see, when my friend said that, I had a whole bunch of scriptures that came in my head. No, I wanted to start typing them up. I just gave him a couple. But that's the filter. My wife said, what's the first thing you think about? She had a scripture. See, if we know the Word, then the deceivers can't come in. When you look at J-Dubs, Jehovah's Witnesses, and again, I'm not telling you that these people are... we need to love them. We need to speak the truth in love to them, right? Okay, but they've got a false message. Okay, April 26th, the Pew Research Center, 2016, 65% of current adult Jehovah's Witnesses are converts and raised in another faith, and they gave examples of the evangelical faith. They were raised in a church but never taught the Word or studied the Word for themselves, and so they were led astray. Listen, here's a little something that will help you, okay? When it comes to cults and deceivers and wise-sounding arguments and great philosophies, here's a basic rule of thumb. You can take a picture with it or ask me to text me and I'll send you this. But this is just something simple, okay, to help you recognize cults and deceivers, okay? Here's a general rule of thumb about what they do, okay? First thing they do, and you can notice it here, is they will always, cults and deceivers, always add to the Word of God, okay? They'll always add to it. In other words, the Bible's good, we can trust it. It's just that you need this, that, or the other, okay? That's what they'll always do. See, if they just said, oh, you don't trust the Bible, period, well, then all the flags would go up. But, you know, you need the Bible in a special translation that's only good for the Jehovah's Witness. Or you need the Book of Mormon in addition to that. See what I'm saying? You know, A.W. Tozer says, God's words are not for me to edit and tinker with, but to believe and obey. Mm-hmm. Okay? Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6 says this. It says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in them. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar. And I like how the NIV puts it a little better. He'll prove you a liar. Yeah. Revelation, Deuteronomy, it says, don't add to the words of this of the scripture. In Revelation it says, the beginning, end, of the end, it says, for I testify that everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his heart from the book of life, from the holy city, from the things that are written in this book. You don't mess with God's word, kids. You know, Darren, that is a definite no-no.
Darren.
Yes.
I said it. Where does that come into the different translations that have come down?
Fantastic question.
All right. You know, they keep saying that the latest translation is because they have found this and they found that, mm-hmm. and, you know, they okay. have better sure. interpretation of the Greek or whatever.
Okay.
So how do we know?
Okay, fantastic
particularly
question.
Particularly if they don't talk in English.
Okay. Well, fantastic question. If you're really interested, I'd give you a short little book on that.
Okay.
However, but just in general, I mean, there's lots of translations being used in here, and some of them has to do with reading level. Some of them are word-for-word translations, which are better for study, and some of them will convey the thought. So they're for different purposes. Mark really likes the NASB. Very great. Josh likes the ESV. They're very good for word studies. You know, or they can, I like them, but sometimes I do like them. But for me, I better not even say it, because then you don't like this version of your Bible. It's like people look for things to get mad about. And then there's another translation that will give a thought behind it. So, for example, the New Century Version that I just handed out, that's written at about a 7th grade reading level, 8th grade, so that people, anybody can understand it. Okay? Now, sometimes the word might not be as impacting. You know, like the New Living Translation, we have used that true, but sometimes it's not as impacting. So, you know, are you reading it for your devotionals? Are you reading it for study? I know I'm probably going way off. Sometimes a word. Let's say, for example, I said to you, okay, there was a translation from England to us. Okay, it's in English. It said, "I'm mad about my flat." Now, what does that mean? Tell me what that means.
I like my apartment.
You like your apartment. Okay. Now, in a word-for-word translation, right, that could mean I like my apartment. But it could also mean, I want to convey the thought behind it, I'm angry that I got a flat tire. You see what I'm saying? One will convey the thought behind it, one conveys the word. So they're both good. If you take all of the modern-day translations, most of them, they're all going to have the same tenets of the faith. You know, they're all the same. The only one is when you get out, sometimes I'll do a paraphrase or a hip-hop type of... And sometimes I'll use that, but you got to be kind of careful with that. And then if you've got somebody who says, oh, this is the real only translation, if anybody ever tells me this is the only translation, flags immediately go up. Like the J-Dubs, they have the New World Translation. And they'll say something like, in the beginning, or all the rest of the translations will say, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John, they'll say, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and He was a God. So, you know, if anybody says, you know, and we'll get to that in a second, but, you know, don't add to God's Word. Can you turn that mic just for a second? Here, in the Articles of the Faith, like, for example, the Mormons, Joseph Smith said this, and I quoted it here, "We believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it's translated correctly, and we also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God." And so Smith added, "I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct book of any book on earth. A man would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than any other book." See, Bible's great, absolutely 100%. It's just the Book of Mormon. Or here's the, for example, Charles Russell. He's the founder of the Watchtower Society. That's the J-Dubs, Jehovah's Witnesses. And this is what he says. He warned that if anyone stopped reading the Watchtower publications, okay, and I'm quoting here, ignores them and goes to the Bible alone, our experience shows that within 2 years he goes into darkness. He explained it would have been better if they had, quote unquote, not read a page of the Bible. See what I'm saying? The mark of a cult will always add to God's word. Okay? Some particular revelation, whatever. The other thing they do, they add to God's word, they subtract from who Jesus is. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They'll also make Jesus less than he is. And that's another kind of a cult thing that they do. So, for example, I didn't write down the key. What is it? Corinthians 11. I think it's 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4. Somebody can look that up for me. I didn't write it down. But anyway, it says, this is Paul writing, "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may be somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For someone comes to you and preaches to you another Jesus than what we preached, or if you receive a different spirit than the spirit you received, or a different gospel than the one you accepted, you're putting up with it easily enough." He's like, listen, in the Muslim religion, Jesus is like a mafia enforcer. When he comes back, and he's going to basically kill all the Christians and the Jews. They believe in Jesus, right? If I'm remembering correctly. It's all from memory. The Mormons believe that Jesus is just one of God's many spirit children, right? Like Satan is his brother, okay? And he's got lots of kids like Jesus, spirit children. It's they make him less than who he is, Emmanuel, God with us. You know what I'm saying? The Jehovah's Witnesses believe he's Michael the Archangel. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They always make him, subtract from who Jesus is, which we've already said, the Word made flesh. Okay? So they add to God's Word, they subtract from who Jesus is. Even in Matthew 16, they subtract, you know, when Jesus looked, when he went to Caesarea Philippi, there was a temple of Zeus. There was a temple, you know, Pan, you know, and he said, "Who do you say that I am? Look at all these gods." And he said, "Well, some say a prophet, some say a good teacher, like they do today." But Jesus said, Peter said, "Well, I know who you are. You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Yep, that's it. Yet it only been revealed to you by my Father." So they add to God's word, subtract from Jesus. They also will multiply the requirements for salvation. In other words, you're saved by grace, but you got to do all these things. Okay? And this is just simply what the Bible says. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift from God." Mm-hmm. It's not of works. Okay? Because you boast about it. And then he goes on to say, listen, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." In other words, we're not saved by good works. But we're saved for good works. It's kind of like proof of our salvation, right? Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. And then finally, you know what? They add to God's word, subtract from Jesus, they multiply the requirements for salvation, but they'll also divide the body of Christ. They'll say their church, their denomination, their leader, their whatever is the way. Do you know what I'm saying? If you really want to be saved, you have to join us. Listen, you don't have to join this church. You don't have to join this pastor. What you need is one thing. Sorry, kids. Remember the sign was here. Anyway. There's just one way.
Amen.
And that's Jesus. And I realize that's not super popular. It's Jesus. There's no other name given to men by which we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. John 14:6 says this. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And how many people come to the Father through him? Except through him, I should say.
No one
comes to the Father except through me. Okay, we got through one verse. That's one.
Where'd you get that from?
I can tell you that. All right, let's. All right, we're getting through two more verses. Very quickly. So I tell you this, and no one's going to deceive you by fine-sounding arguments, and they have the arguments ready. Verse 5 says, Paul says, for though I'm absent from you in the body, Colossians chapter 2, 5, I'm present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. And he's using like military terms. That word orderly is taxis, and that just means arranged. And how firm, or that just means steadfast. It means fortified. It's their military terms. And it's the picture is like, he's saying, you guys are like a solid bunch of military, like a ranking of soldiers that are fortified and entrenched and know what they're doing. You know, and we need to be steadfast, entrenched, fortified, orderly. You know, there's a scripture verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, when he's talking about the spiritual gifts. And he's saying, you know what? He says, everything needs to be done decently and in order. Okay? Now, we want to be balanced. Some of us here have come from hyper charismatic, charismaniac, you know, and then some of us have come from ultra-conservative, you know. And so we come from both. You want to be balanced. You know, it's almost like on the one hand, let everything be done in decent and in orderly right. So on the one hand, you've got let everything be done. You've got people swinging from the chandeliers or parking the car, whatever. And then on the other hand, everything must be decently and in order. You know, we have to put our eyes up to here. The skirts must be down to at least our toenails. But he wants... We have to be balanced, okay? We have to be balanced in things. He goes on to say in verse 6, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, okay? And that's really, we have to receive him as Lord, right? Mm-hmm. The Bible says, John 1:12, to all who received him, to him he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. He died for us all, but you still have to receive that gift of eternal life. Right? You guys know the scripture, I mentioned it earlier. Jesus said, I'm telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Mm-hmm. Right? He's either the Lord of all, or he's not the Lord at all. You have to make him that Lord. You have to receive that free gift of eternal life. Charles Spurgeon says, hey, the scripture doesn't say you must be improved. You must be born again. Okay? Thanks, Chris. He goes on to say, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, or the ESV says, walk in him. I kind of love that. I love that, to live and continue to live in Him, to walk in Him. And here's the funny thing. If you're giving your life to Jesus, you can't walk, you can't stay where you're at and walk with Jesus at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Jesus, when Jesus called people, remember He called Matthew the tax collector? You know, he left it. He left his job. He left everything. He threw it all and He said, I'm going to walk with you. Do you remember James, John, or, you know, the sons of Zebedee, they're out fishing, right? And they left their nets. You can't say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go with Jesus. I'm just not going to move. Mm-hmm. If you want to walk with Jesus and live with, you have to move. You have to walk with Him. You can't stay where you're at and go with God at the same time. It does not work. Does that make sense? God is calling some of you to out. He's calling some of you to walk with Him wherever He leads. The Bible says this. Ephesians 2:10. I didn't write the thing for this too. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So He's prepared these good works for you to walk with Him and to do. He's already prepared them in advance. You can't stop and do nothing. And walk with Him. He's calling you to obedience. He's calling you to walk with Him, to live with Him, to live for Him. And that's where your joy comes from. It's scary, isn't it? Let's be honest, to walk with Jesus sometimes. I have to step out of faith. I have to trust His word in a time where people don't want to do that. But I'm going to trust you, Lord, and I'm going to walk with you. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. God's saying, I want you to trust me. Trust my purposes. Trust my word, no matter what the world says. What are you doing? It's your choice. I'll tell you, Psalm 128:1 says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. Okay, yes, and a couple people raising their hand. Yes?
Well, there's something in this passage that it's easy to skip over. It says that we are listening.
The light, Chris. I guess it's so busy.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was trying to find it. To continue to live in Him, not to have Him live in us. Too often, we try to add Jesus to us, putting new wine into old wineskins.
Okay.
And that
if, I'm trying with you. Sorry, go ahead.
And that if we live in Him, it is new wines. He is the new wineskin. We can't add Jesus to our lives. And we're putting the old wine, we're putting new wine into old wineskins if we do that.
That's what you're trying to say. Okay.
We have to put ourselves into living in Him,
right.
Be truly born again.
Right.
And there's a difference there.
Yes, I understand what you're trying to say. Right. He does come to live in us. Yes. No, you're good. I hear what you're saying. I hear your heart in it. He does come to live in us when we become born again.
Yes.
But a lot of people just want to add. Pick and choose.
Yes,
I want to. Yes, I want to add a little bit of Jesus. Oh, I like this command, not this one.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. That doesn't work.
It's a
total.
Yes.
You have to do it all.
Yes.
Live in Him.
Yes. Agreed. Yes.
And all of those things where He says walk.
Yes.
We start where we are, and we take one step at a time. We don't have to read the whole thing and know the beginning from the end or anything else. We start where we are because that's where He meets us. And we take one step in trust and another step in trust and another step in trust.
Yes, go back there. As you're bringing that microphone back there or hand it back there, you know what it says to live in Him.
Psalm 86, 11 says, teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth.
Ooh, that's a good one. What was that again?
Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth.
Yeah.
Unify my heart, or give me the singleness of heart.
Yeah.
And I will praise your name, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever.
What was that psalm, what?
11 and 12.
Awesome. Thank you. Good. Cheryl.
I just wanted to say what it was kind of bouncing off what Gary was talking about.
Yeah.
He said Jesus comes to live in us, but then he asks us to abide in him.
Yes. Yes, he comes to live in us, that he, yes, abide in him. That's right. He is the vine, we are the branches, right? As we abide in him. Yes, that's great.
I think it refers a lot also to the concept of really following Christ and not walking in your flesh. When we become believers, 1 Corinthians says we are baptized by Jesus.
Yes.
People get it mixed up. We're baptized by Jesus into the Holy Spirit. And he submerges us. It's you know, we're plunged into him.
Mm-hmm.
So what Gary's saying, it's not that,
yes,
that the Holy Spirit's baptized into us.
Yeah.
We're baptized,
yes,
into that.
Yes.
And in Christ. We walk in Christ. And so many passages, you know, don't walk in the flesh. Don't follow your own impulses,
yes,
your own desires. Follow Christ. Be in Christ.
Yes.
And live in Christ.
Yes.
Is in his lordship and submission to him.
Yes.
Worship is submission and obedience. So it's from the beginning of our Christian life, as we begin, we're submerged into the Spirit of Christ, by Christ.
Yes, I agree. And then, okay, so I'm at least going to get through three verses, and I'll stop. It's really, see, and that's what, you have to just be obedient to the Lord. You know, I come in with kind of with my own plans. God, we can do this. And there's nothing to be sorry about. It's great. It's great discussion. Great input. Wonderful.
Amen.
Wonderful. And so Colossians 2:7, you know, let your roots grow down into him. And let your lives be built up in him. Oh, I had some great stuff. I'm sorry. All right. Anyway, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built up in him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. And I like how the NLT says this particular verse. But what he's saying is, you know what? You know, when you become a believer, those roots have to go down into his heart. Down, you've got to understand God's heart, understand his word, so that you know what he has to say. And understand his Holy Spirit. He wants those to go deep. We went through a hurricane here, right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you saw a lot of downed trees. And some of those trees that you saw, right, that looked healthy and alive, right? But when that wind hit them and you found snapped, you realize, you know what? It looked on the outside like it was a live tree. But it was actually dead. And it snapped in half. Okay, or you might have seen those, some of the palm trees where the roots didn't go down deep, right? You see them like tilted over, right? You see the roots hanging out there, right? Because those roots didn't go down deep. Listen, when the storms come, when the winds come, you want those roots down deep in your word. I'm begging you, in a good God, I probably shouldn't beg, is the wrong word, but I'm pleading, urging you to get into the word, to get into the herd, right? Get in with God's people who know the Lord and love the Lord and walk the Lord so those roots can go down. We can learn from one another. That's what the body's for. We can learn from his word. It can go down deep so that those roots go down deep into him. That tree's not moving. And let your life be built up in him. And as those roots go down deep, you're going to grow. And if you notice, that tree is bearing, I think it has fruit in it, if I can find the wrong tree. But anyway, we're going to bear fruit that will last, right? People are going to see that fruit, and they're going to say, wow, look at the love, look at the joy, look at the peace, because the world will not have that other than a temporary blip when they're in sin. They're anesthetizing those things. And they're going to see these things in us, and they're going to take them, like, I want that fruit. I want it in my life. You have something I don't have. Yes. Oh, hey, hi.
Okay. That's the one thing that I've noticed about this church. And Susie and I were talking a little bit about it this morning. You go someplace else, the people are just there. They're in their own little cocoons. They don't welcome you. They don't smile at you. whatever. And here, it literally, it may not be a family, but literally you come in feeling like it. There's a lot of people with issues here,
yeah.
But you wouldn't know it in a million years to see them and talk to them. It's a fantastic place.
Well, that was a super wonderful thing to have you say. Thank you very much for that. And that's just the Lord. There is nothing special about any one of us, is there? Other than we know Jesus. Right? And so the more those roots go down, the more we're going to grow, the more the fruit's going to come out. We allow that to happen, right? Don't force the fruit. We just abide in the vine, right? Like a tree planted by streams of living water that will yield its fruit in season, Scripture says. You just allow Him to work in you. You allow His Word to watch over you, to walk in you, and through you to bear fruit that will last. That doesn't happen overnight. And that doesn't happen without letting Him work in you. Amen? Amen. All right. All right, we're just going to take a minute and pray. Thank you, guys. We love you very much. And let's pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you for your heart. And you love us so much. Thank you that you just want us to be real before you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for your precious word that is so valuable. I pray if anybody walks out of here, they would just remember, Lord, how precious you are and how precious your word is. And to get that word into their own hearts and lives. Not mom's faith, dad's faith, whatever denomination, non-denominations, it's just you. Your word would just root them down deep and that they would be built up in you and that they would bear fruit that would last. Pray your blessing on all the things going on from this body, Lord God, that you would continue just to put your hand on each person. And I pray, Lord, your protection over all those newly baptized people, Lord God, that you would do the very thing that your word says here in Colossians 2:7. Root them and build them, Lord. We're asking you to do that, Lord God. And we're praying that you would make our minds steadfast, Lord God. And your heart, your word, your spirit, that we might not be deceived by those spirits, Lord God. We love you, and bless you, and we praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys. Have a great week. In Jesus' name, we'll see you at the Bible studies.